God of the ages, you call the church to keep watch in the world and to discern the signs of the times. Grant us the wisdom that your Spirit bestows so that with courage we may proclaim your prophetic word and complete the work you have set before us. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus has been on a bit of a tear these last few weeks, hasn't he? We've not had a gospel reading that lends itself well to warm, fuzzy feelings with lush pastoral settings, dramatic backlighting, and the romantic swell of strings from the orchestra. Jesus has been assailing us with rather harsh words and parables recently. 2 weeks ago, he confronted the leader and congregation in the synagogue, calling them hypocrites for criticizing him. Again, for healing on the Sabbath. Last week, he proved to be the upstart dinner guest, presumably an honored guest, who then breaks most social conventions and calls out both the guests and his host for their social climbing and honor-grabbing behavior. I'm thinking he wasn't invited back anytime soon. Today, we hear even more harsh terms. Jesus has left the dinner party and is now once again back on the way to Jerusalem, and large crowds continue to follow him. He opens with a real stunner today. He turns to the crowd and he tells them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple." So what is going on here? Is Jesus really telling us to hate those most of us would hold most dear? Is this the same Jesus who tells us to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves? Is this the same gospel message that commands us to care for the outcast, the downtrodden, the uncared for, to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us? Is this the same Jesus who just last week told us it was the lame, the blind, and the otherwise scorned who would be the true inheritors of the kingdom of God? I think I'm just a little bit confused here. We must bear in mind that in this section of Luke, as he does at some point in each of the Gospels, Jesus is trying to teach his followers about the commitment, the demands, and the cost of discipleship. It will not be easy. Jesus himself is on the way to Jerusalem. While those in the crowd do not understand, we know only too well what that will mean. So does Jesus. And he asks nothing less than that we should make the same commitment. We're not talking necessarily to the death, although the various communities for whom the evangelists were writing were indeed facing persecution and sometimes execution. Unfortunately, there are places in the world today where some face the same violent threats for their faith. But we're talking about the commitment to leave all else behind and truly and totally commit to the life of discipleship. Jesus is speaking of making discipleship the first priority in life. Yes, even if necessary, above the relationships between family and loved ones, even life itself. There are multiple examples in the book of Acts, also written by Luke, that describe the conflict within families when one member is converted to faith and the others are not. It is described as leading to divorce when the pagan spouse is unable to comprehend or live with the one who has changed their ways in faith. It is easy to see why Christianity was often seen as a dangerous and subversive cult by the majority pagan culture of Jesus' time. It remains a radical and difficult message today. Jesus is not speaking in terms of hate, as our modern ears and minds understand the term. Rather, he is speaking in terms of priority. Perhaps the translation given in Matthew for this similar theme better captures the nuance that is often unavailable in English. Matthew has Jesus say, "Whoever loves his family more than me cannot be my disciple." As we can see, we're not talking about hate here, but different layers of love. Jesus continues with another difficult saying. "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Again, to our modern way of thinking, we have come to misunderstand what Jesus is saying. Our thinking makes the cross we bear usually relate to our challenges and problems in life. Pain, illness, conflict, difficult children or spouses or relationships all become crosses we bear. Or as a good friend of mine refers to such issues, they are his cross-eyed bears. But with such thinking, bearing the cross becomes something that happens to us, something that is either imposed upon us or occurs at least partially outside of our control. It is something we endure, hopefully with patience and minimal complaining. That is not what Jesus is telling us. Bearing the cross is not something that happens to us. Rather, as theologian Scott Hosey states, it is a conscious decision by each of us to put aside oneself in favor of seeing all of life through the lens of service to God. It is a lifestyle consciously chosen by a person. The cross we bear is the way we choose to look at all life. Discipleship is not part-time work. Becoming a disciple changes one's life. It changes the way we view life. It changes the way we live life. It did so in Jesus' time. It does so in ours. In these divisive times, when something even as mundane and boring as a weather map becomes fraught with political controversy, this gospel message and Jesus' call to discipleship can itself often seem equally subversive. It can even be seen as overtly political. It is not. Jesus continually tells us his message is about the kingdom of God, not about the kingdoms of this world, although those kingdoms are often in conflict. The gospel message is not about power and control and wealth and privilege. The gospel message is about love and inclusion and compassion. It is radical social justice that cares for the needy, tends to the sick, shelters the homeless, feeds the hungry. It is a message of inclusion that embraces as my neighbors more than just the members of my family, or my neighborhood, or my church, or even my country. More than just the people who look like me, or think like me, or live like me. Discipleship changes how we view the world and our place in it. Discipleship also inevitably calls us to change the world, that we might more fully realize within the world the message Jesus brought to the world.